session number 20461, Reel 9.
So you were saying that you were stukered by Germany?
Yeah, during the day, the stukers were coming, bombed, away they go, and back they come again. Well, we were down on the ground, and one particular day, which was a surprise to us, because our stukers came over, and it's the first time I'd seen our New Zealanders open up with their Bofors, and they shot down four. Within an hour, there's four Stukas came down. One, I think it was a 500 pound bomb. It was what's his name? Oh, Ernie. Anyway, Ernie Stallwood got him. Ernie Stallwood and his mate, they come out their holes, the bomb dropped, and they got out. What happened was they have a look at this tank. There was a Jerry tank not far away. I'd been there, been there some time. There before we advanced. Anyway, they got out and it was quiet, and they went over to this tank and they was having a look at it. Come on, have a look. So a couple more of us got out, quite safe, walked across, and the Stukas come over, and they dived down. They were the nearest, and the bomb came down and rolled towards them, to Ernie Stallwood and Stonnell. And he rolled and rolled and rolled. Ran around the back of the tank, waited, nothing happened. They come back again, what's happened? It's a dud. Anyway, they come back here, and anyway, of course, our sergeant come up, crossed, he said, whew, blimey, so we had some luck there. Anyway, he said, they're coming up, REs are coming up, blow it up. The REs, not in minutes, it's sometime later, and we all got down in there, dug a bit more deeper, and got down in there, they said, right, and the REs blew it up, and he went up in the air, came down again. They said, I said, it's a dud, Anyway, a little while later, I said, right, once more, and bang, it went. So I don't know what happened to that one. Oh, dear.
You said when you were at the attack at Riverside Ridge, you were under German mortar fire.
Yeah.
Was that accurate?
Well, the amount of chaps we lost, it was, yeah. They're there. They know if you're going to advance to them, they've got you, haven't they? It's a different when you're dug in and you're waiting. This is where we come unstuck. See, I don't think our people the intelligence of our people weren't thorough. We weren't there long enough. That's the trouble. We weren't there long enough to know, and of course. The New Zealanders were hardened blokes, but they were more north. We shared our rations with them, but we weren't.
You didn't have the experience of desert fighting.
Now I come to think of it, now more I think about it now, which I haven't done for a long time. We relieved the Maoris, the New Zealand black men. We relieved them. They had to go back for a rest because they, at the time, they were. Taking them back, quite a lot of the hardened troops were going back for rest because ready for the big onslaught. And so, of course, we, us rookies, as you might say, were up there once again. Not.
So with this one, Ivan, you pulled back after the attack. How did you extricate yourself from that position?
At night, we just pulled right back and they said, right, as far as you go, dig in. And digging in wanted some doing. Because a lot of it was sandstone, you know.
So it was hard rock on the ridge,
rock,
was
yeah.
And on the desert floor that you'd been on, was that slightly different?
There was soft sand, and there was and And in other places, the lorries could go no problem anywhere. See, that's how it was. And then you had pockets of soft sand, which was, I said to you, the Quadara Depression, that was all soft sand. That's where the Jerrys got trapped. Yeah.
So you pulled back to the ridge after the attack?
Yes.
What happened at that point? You dug in and...
Yeah. That we, that's why I say we waited then for the for our people to get into position ready for the big attack.
So you were just in a holding position again?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, and we just, well... it was someone said to me at the time, blimey, this is like being at a theatre, you know, because we had nothing to do. We just sat, we just sat on our trenches and just let them have it. And of course it was going over and over, and then the tanks were all gearing up.
At that period when you'd pulled back to the ridge, did you do any patrolling at all?
I didn't, no. So our patrols went through, yeah, yes. And matter of fact, to us, as I know, that a lot of the, as I said, we're attached to the New Zealanders, their chaps used to take our chaps out on patrol. Yeah. You know, they used to take them out of the night on patrol. Yeah.
Was that to give them the...
Get the experience, yeah. Get a bit of, you know, get a feeling of the place. But then, as I say, the whole... I wouldn't like to have been up there earlier, I'll tell you that. Oh no, but luck was on our side for the simple reason within a short period when we opened up, the Germans knew that we were stronger than what they were, and they couldn't hold the line. And of course, then when we got through the minefields, they more or less had to go back. Then, on top of that, our aircraft started coming over and picked them out, see? And then we had the American Air Force on our side with us, with the Mitchells and the Liberators up top. And, of course, that was it. We took on, and that was what happened. We went as far as Gurna.
With this, did you see the barrage at El Alamein?
Yes, I'm saying it's like theatre.
So what was it actually like?
You get that feeling. Oh, this is it. This is what Monty said. Don't worry.
What was it like to see?
I couldn't describe it. The place was lit up like, you know, on stage. Can you imagine, like the stages, except we didn't have the dancing girls. It was marvellous, yeah. And then, of course, not only top, we had the Air Force up there at night, coming over and picking them up as they could see them retreating, just going down, and they just dropped bombs, yeah. Must have been bad for them, as I say. And, of course, when then we got near enough outside of Derna when the Folgore Division packed in, we had to escort them right back to Alex.
How did you advance from Al Alamein to Derna?
Lorries. Oh, in lorries, yeah.
Did you come up against much opposition in that period?
No, but only that. Prisoners. Yeah. Prisoners. That way, keep going that way. Yeah.
What were the prisoners? Were they Italian or German?
Mostly Italian, but there were Germans, yeah. Yeah, I think it was 90th Light Regiment, what we picked up. Yeah. God, blimey, though. Although, as I say, there was another thing there. I can't tell you exactly where it was, but I think we buried about 30 Jerrys. When I say buried, we just laid them out and piled rocks on them. But that's back to your flies, isn't it?
You say with that, with a body in the desert, does it take long for the body to start?
No, I couldn't tell you how many of them have been lying there, but, oh dear, That was another thing. We in our advance, we got a whole Italian dressing station or hospital. Yeah, we got that. They were all their stuff and that, you know. Our people picked up a lot of their stuff and took back. Yeah, in intact, you know, all in bandages and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, they just run, left it all.
What type of rate were you advancing at?
Funny. See, I mean, it's funny. If get back on the lorry and away we went again. And, you know, and then we stop and have knock out some tea, you know, because what we used to have, the petrol tins. Matter of fact, they were the same type of petrol tin that I had on the ship coming from Dunkirk. They were about that, like that, and they were thin, shiny tin. So what we used to do, get one like that, cut it in half, put our water in that. I mean, I suppose the evaporation of the petrol didn't matter because we used to make our tea in that. You know, put sand in it, put sand in petrol, then light it, and then make our cup of tea with the other half. That's how we And the other thing we used to do was, when we were stationary, we used to have desert lilies. That was a petrol tin, digging in the ground, petrol tin, and that was for your piss into that sort of thing. Yeah. But we learned a lot off the old New Zealanders.
Did they teach you the techniques of how to live in the desert?
Yeah. Unbelievable. Marvellous. I mean, we had double the rations when we was with them. Double rations. I mean, I had barley pears.
Was that New Zealand rations?
Yes.
Yeah. So you were obtaining from them?
I personally was, over those years, I thought, well, as we got on so well, and why don't we trade with these people more? You know, because they were so good to us, and they were like English people. No, that's another story, isn't it? Yeah, so, as I say, then we had the Fulgori coming up and go that way, mate. And then, of course, then it came for us to go back to rest. And, of course, rest, we never went back up.
How long had you been in the desert? You got up about August, hadn't you? When did you get to
September, Durna? October. I think it must be September, October. I think we went back to November. Oh, we had our Christmas. We came back out for Christmas. That's right. Yeah, it was Christmas time. And I think it was then. Not sure about that. I know we had Christmas down at not Qatar, but another place when we went back. Had our Christmas there, and then that was when they decided that we were going through to Palestine.
Had you got a new drafts in to replace the casualties you took?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I think we had, in one stroke, we had 250. Yeah, and that was another story, wasn't it? I was just going to come back and see what happens is this, that we had 10 or 11 new officers. Yes, that's when we were coming out for a rest. As we were coming out in the dark, a new officer. I only see him for about half hour, you know, he looked a bit straight college sort of thing. Anyway, another mate of mine was a middleweight champion of Southern Command. Bloody hell. Anyway, what's happening? Come along, left, right, pick your feet up, you go. And I think of his name, Freddie Norton. Oh, like that.
He hit him
and broke his jaw. his name? Yeah. He'd only just come up. He'd only just come up from Tewfik.
So what happened to him?
I don't know. There was a schmozzle there, and old Baron, he said to me, do you know what? They put us all on the charge. I said, yeah, have it all on a charge in the desert. He said, what's it? He says, right, he broke his jaw. I can't think of your name. Anyway. But anyway, he broke his jaw because he's finished. Took him away. Done him a favour.
Do you think he wanted to have that done?
Don't know. He might have done later. Might have thought, that's a bit of luck.
So what was your attitude to, I mean, you say there with the young officer straight from college.
Yeah.
What was the men's attitude to that?
Well, I mean, when you've got good officers and you lose them, you know, old Watts, we lost him, he was an amazing man, you know, and you get the likes of that.
So take it until that time, until that attack then. Rusat Ridge, had the battalion kept a flavour of its territorial background?
Yeah.
Did that change afterwards?
Absolutely changed. Yeah, everything changed then. As I say, we were in a world because I'm talking about myself. See, I think myself, well, I'm lucky. I'm here and I'm alive and that's when I wonder where we're going. That's how. Well, I think we're going to Palestine. Oh, that's all right. Deal with that. You know, that's how you feel. That's how you think. Deal with that. And as I say, and for a long time, I mean, we were out of action for a long time. Going right back to Palestine, right through Palestine, through Jordan, right through to Iraq. You know, lovely as far as I'm concerned. I mean, uncomfortable with the dust storms and all that, but that was nothing.
Did you have any duties at that point?
Guards all the time, or other duties, you know. Yeah, it was something.
And what was the role of the battalion? Were you just...
We were learning desert warfare with the Iraqis.
Do you think there'd been a feeling that you weren't... I mean, I know you've said that you didn't feel you were prepared for desert warfare.
No.
Do you think that was generally felt about the battalion at that point?
Oh, yeah, yes, yeah. I think that's what I say. When it's happened to you once, you really feel that you're on another loser.
And do you think that was felt by the higher command that maybe you'd not performed as well as you could have done?
Because it was said so many times, you know, by different people and that we had a raw deal right from the start. I mean, because we were only civilians, really. And this is what really, the typical Great War.
I know you'd been at Dunkirk, but did that, you know, experiences in the desert, did that change you, your attitudes in any way?
Well, it did. I knew then that... I was going to be in it until whether I got killed or wounded or the war ended. I knew that was it. Yeah, that was that. I made my mind up about that, and you got to put up with it. You know, you made your mind up that right, whatever happens, you got to take it, what way or the other. It's good days, bad days, but I was always if I could find a joke out of something, I would. That's how I am.
Did you feel that you were living? You weren't making plans, particularly for the future.
No. Oh no. 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 I'd give up that because there's so much. Then you're hearing of, Germans here. Germans have got there. Germans have got somewhere else. They've landed somewhere else. You know, couldn't see any way out.
So when you went into Palestine and Jordan and Iraq...
That was lovely. That was a bit of peace. Yeah.
What were you doing? Were you training?
Yeah, we're training all the time. Even cross-country running. Football. Yeah, play football. Yeah, all that sort of thing. Yeah. And map reading. all that sort of mine laying. You know, always doing something. Yeah. Because we was getting better as we went along, see? We're only getting better. Yeah.
What was the morale of the battalion like?
Well, first of all, you've got to remember one thing. It was a different battalion. Reinforcements from all over the, you know. See that, so that changed things. And there was, as I say, but I would say for the better. Because a lot of them have been out of other battles, you know. They've been elsewhere. They weren't rookies, not like us. And that, you know, and the NCOs, a lot of the NCOs. Don't forget, our battalion were territorials, and we got the hard ones coming in, and that made a lot of difference. That did at Coima, made a lot of difference because some of them NCOs we had there were regular soldiers.
And you say yourself that you felt different.
Yes, yes.
Would that be true of your comrades?
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah, yes. Gradually you've got to... You knew what you had to do, didn't you? You knew what you had to do. You got to keep your eyes peeled. Your rifle's your best friend, and ba-boom. Yeah.
So how long were you in Palestine and Iraq and Jordan in that period? You must have gone there late 1942.
I think now, if I come to think of it, I think you know what? 3 months? About 3 months.
So we're into 1943?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And what happened after Iraq?
Down to Basra. Now I can tell you this bit because it's a joke. It's not a joke, but a fact. We boarded the Empire Trooper. Now the Empire Trooper was a German strength through joy boat. Once again, below the waterline. Once again, when we pushing off. Well, don't know. Well, find out. Can we find out something? Sergeant, what's happening? I don't know. Can we be moving? Yeah, but you don't know how things are. You don't know. Anyway, we had another officer join us then. He was a bit of a... He had come out of the real North Country. Anyway, we asked him. He said, you won't believe it. I can't tell you when we're going to move out because the hawser has got round the propeller. Can't move out. He says, the divers are down there now. I can tell you that. The divers are down there. Well, anyway, was there another day. Blimey, was that odd. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Yeah, we've tried. I prickly heat. And we were turning white, like a dust. Believe that or not, it was just like, well, what it was the salt. The salt was coming out of our bodies, and we were all whitish. Yeah, yeah. I mean, taking turns of going up on top. Eventually, as I say, we set sail, and of course, when we got out, it was lovely, you know, with the old breeze. We had these, like canvas. That come from the top of the mast.
An awning.
Awning, yeah, and they come right down into there. Oh, lovely. Yeah, lovely. And that, but now, as I say, that was quite pleasant after that. And then I can't tell how long it took to get, we went to Bombay.
Did you know your destination at all until you got there?
Someone said, we're going to India. Yeah. Yeah. It actually leaked out then. One thing I forgot to tell you. When we got as far as Derna, and we started to turn around and come back, it came out. Our officers told us, we're no longer in the 44th Div. Disbanded the 44th Div. So what are we now then? You're in the 5th Indian Div. And that more or less gives an indication that where we were going.
When you'd pulled back then, did you pull back with Indian troops?
No, never seen an Indian troop. No.
But the indication was that you were going
We never saw any Indians till we got to Iraq. That's the first Indians we see. And then we found out, as we'd already been told, we were now in the 5th Indian Div as we were coming through Palestine.
So you arrived in Bombay.
Yeah. And of course, the old soldiers with us, just we get back to our old soldiers now. God, dear, oh dear. I was here in 67 and all the rest of it. Yeah. God, he said, yeah. The old punker wallers, you know, you lay there in the afternoons. You lay there in the afternoons, you sweating, and the punker waller, he'd be he'd sitting there like that, and he'd start dozing, and you throw some boot at him, and his old car would go, and the old string go. Oh, I love it. Yeah, they said, yeah, you have tea and all the rest of it, and they do your washing for you and all that. And of course, nothing like it. When we got there, they took us right up into the jungle at a place called Chaz, right in the middle of the jungle in India. Oh, yeah.
What are your initial impressions of Bombay being?
Bombay? Well, it was Bakshi Sahib, you Raja, me no sisters, no uncles. Yeah. Oh, you know, all on two Indians carrying a pole, one on one end, one on the other, and another Indian all twisted up, all mangled, and his arms and all legs all bent, and begging. And another chap there, a meat hook, standing on in the street in a meat hook, and they're all standing around watching him, and you get the meat hook and go, bring it out of his nose.
So put it into his mouth.
Yeah, or the other way around, I think. I can't remember now. Oh, different things. Acrobats. Oh, blimey. I never heard of it. Never seen.